Hello and welcome to the Anchor Wellness Podcast. My name is Niamh Hayes and I am the founder and coach at Anchor Wellness. This podcast is all about giving you information and tips about physical, mental and emotional health and well-being. I want to share my knowledge with you. I want to share other people's knowledge with you and give you practical information and tools that you can implement into your own life so that you can be the happiest and healthiest version of you. This week's episode is all about your inner child. So I think there is a little bit of confusion out there about what is your inner child, who are they, what impact do they have, why are we hearing so much about it now? So hopefully by the end of this podcast, you'll have an understanding of what an inner child is and how it shows up in your life every single day. I want you to start by thinking about you as a child, as a baby. From the moment you were conceived by your parents, you started to develop and you spent roughly around 9 months in your mother's womb. And then you came into the physical world and you were a baby, a toddler, a child, grew up into be a teenager and now an adult. So your inner child is the version of you that lived in the womb and lived in the world as a baby and lived in the world as a toddler and as a child. So that version of you hasn't disappeared. That version of you is still there. It still exists. That might sound like a crazy concept that they still exist, but they do. And I will talk you through how they still exist throughout this podcast. So you, the 9 months you spent in the womb and the first couple of years as a baby, as a toddler, and then, as a young kid in school and finding yourself in the world and then becoming a bigger or older child, every single thing that you went through, all your experiences, all the conversations you had, all the things you saw, you heard, you smelt, you tasted, you touched, all the things that went on inside your body, all of that still exists. All of that, even though it's in a distant memory in your mind, that all those experiences live on in your body. We often, and you've probably heard me talk a lot about the mind-body connection, and that is, you know, governed by your nervous system. Your vagus nerve is a big part of it. Every single thing that you went through had a response in your body. And you always hear me talk about the stress responses, and that's what they are. You had a stress response in your body based on every single thing that you've gone through. Your state changed to overcome whatever it is you were going through as a baby, as a kid. And all of those experiences are mapped into your nervous system, and your nervous system holds onto that map throughout your life. All of those memories are also stored in a memory box in your mind, and a lot of them will be in your unconscious mind. You won't even consciously be thinking about it. Like, I know me personally, when I look back on my childhood, especially the first few years, I'm like, geez, I have no memories of, like, even my first couple of years in school. And before that, I have very little memories. But that doesn't mean nothing happened. All that happened, all the memories, every experience I went through, every emotion I felt, every conversation I had, all of that is stored within my unconscious mind. So even though I consciously don't have the memory, it's all there. So that is your inner child, basically, to kind of sum it up or to make it into something easy to understand. Your inner child is you as a child. It's everything you went through, all the emotions you experienced, all the situations you were in, all the people you met, the conversations you had, everything you heard as a kid, everything you saw, that is mapped into your nervous system, and those memories are stored in your mind. Some of them will certainly be in your conscious mind, and you'll have the memory, you'll be able to like recall or visualize the memory, but a lot of it will be stored in your unconscious mind, so you're not consciously thinking about them. The thing is, as a kid, particularly a young kid, we didn't have the language, we didn't talk. It took us a few years to develop our words, and even after that, you know, it took us ages again to put together words to make sentences and to make meaning of all of that. So as a kid, particularly for your first 7 years of your life, everything is more an emotional experience rather than a logical or a thought or word experience. We don't have the words or the language to put to the things that happened, whether they were positive things or negative things. We didn't have the words or language, but we did have the emotional response. And that is key to knowing and understanding your inner child and how it shows up in your world today. So say, for instance, you were a baby and your parents decided the route they wanted to take with you was that they wanted you to self-soothe. So you were a crying baby in your cot and you were left to soothe yourself. Now, as a baby, you cannot soothe yourself. You need co-regulation. You need somebody to tell you you are safe. Through touch, through picking up, through facial expressions. That's how a baby will learn to regulate themselves eventually, is through that co-regulation. So imagine you're a baby and you're left in a cot and you're left there to cry. All your nervous system and reptilian brain is going to think is that you're not safe. You have nobody to keep you safe. You're not going to have food. Your survival is at risk here. You've heard me talk about these in terms of stress responses. It's the exact same thing. So your nervous system mapped that, oh, I am alone. I am under threat. I may not get food. I may not have safety. I may not be loved. That was mapped into your nervous system because of the emotional response you had. Obviously, as a baby, you didn't have the words or the language to say what you want or say what you needed. It's through emotions and through your stress responses are how these things came about. That experience as a baby, no matter how small you are, no matter how young or old you were, that is stored in the memory box of your mind, of your nervous system. And so it is no wonder when you're a teenager or you're an adult that if you are, you know, you go through something emotional and say you're upset and your nervous system is going to tell you nobody's going to come for you here. You're not going to be comforted. You have to just get through this yourself because you have nobody. Your survival's at risk. Your safety's at risk. Nobody cares. And that's all based on a meaning that your little baby's nervous system, yourself, your own nervous system took. That was the meaning they took from the experience as a kid. Now, obviously, you probably do not have that conscious memory of being left in the cot to cry, but your nervous system and your thoughts, the memories, the thought patterns, the neural patterns in your brain, they remember. And a thing that upsets me or kind of gets to me, I see a lot online, you know, something might happen, a kid, and they'll be like, oh, sure, they were too young to remember. Okay, all that means is that they didn't have the words or the language to put to that experience. That's why that's in that way, they don't have the words to remember, but their nervous system remembers, their emotional center remembers, and it's stored in their mind and in their nervous system. There might be people listening to this who have taken that concept of, you know, letting their kid cry it out in the hopes that they'll soothe themselves. And maybe that's what they've done with their own kids, or maybe that's what they went through themselves as a kid. And that's me. I'm not telling you you've done anything wrong or anything, but I'm just letting you know that those emotional experiences that kids go through, because they don't have the words or language yet, everything is understood through emotions. That emotional impact is going to stay with them within their inner child, which you carry with you throughout your life. You don't lose that part of yourself, your childhood. You don't, it's not just because physically the years are gone doesn't mean anything. It's still every single experience you went through is stored in some way in your brain and in your mind. Okay, So even if there's people listening to this who have done that and have left their baby to self-soothe, or again, if you've done it, if you recognize that as a baby you were made do that, don't worry. Again, lots of people go for that, but the good thing to know is that your nervous system and your brain, there's a thing called neuroplasticity, bioplasticity. It means we're not stuck with where we are right now. So even though our nervous system might think like we're unsafe, we're always going to be alone, nobody's going to come to comfort us, you can actually retrain and reteach your nervous system and reteach your brain and your biology, basically, that, you know, you are safe and you are loved. Your inner child will show up in your everyday life now, today, no matter if you're in your 30s or 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s or 80s or in your 20s or whatnot. The biggest place, or one of the most common places your inner child will show up, is in your modern day relationships. So let's take the baby who was left to self-soothe. They were left to cry out their emotions. So they took meaning, they took an emotional meaning from that. Their nervous system, their mind, their brain took an emotional meaning from that, that no matter what I say, no matter what I do, nobody's going to come for me. I'm not going to be comforted. I'm not safe. I may not get food. I may not survive this. I am alone. That could be a very possible meaning that that baby's nervous system and mind and brain took from that experience. And so you're in an adult relationship now. You have a partner and you've decided to be in a relationship with this person. And this person doesn't text you back. So you send them a message and they don't reply straight away. Or something happens and you try to have a conversation with them and they're not engaging with you. What is your nervous system? What is your inner child saying to you? It's saying, I remember a time when this feels familiar. I remember a time when something like this happens. You're alone. You may not survive this. You need to shut down. So the nervous system decides, okay, we're not safe here, you're going to be alone, that person doesn't love you, I'll never be loved, and all those meanings from that little baby took when they were left to cry it out is showing up here today. And you're then either shutting down in your relationship or you're overreacting simply because someone maybe didn't text you back straight away, or you're having a disagreement with someone. So our inner child is always showing up. Another place it might show up is if you're at work and you get criticism. This is something that I find really tough to deal with. So criticism is a very natural part of life, and we should be able to take feedback, whether it's positive or negative, and be able to use that to learn something, to grow and to adapt. But if you as a kid were constantly criticized that you couldn't do anything good enough, that nothing you did was adequate, and you took those emotional meanings to mean that I'm not good enough, I'll never amount to anything, I can't, if I do something wrong, that means the whole thing is going to fall apart. So you as a child, if you were constantly getting criticism and you weren't told that this is an okay thing, to, you know, it's okay to get criticism because we learn and grow from it, then you as an adult, that inner child's experience is going to show up today. Say for instance you're called into your boss's office and you go in and your brain is like, oh no, this feels familiar here. Your nervous system is like, oh, we've gone through this before, and it'll initiate the same response that you as a kid had. So it'll put you into the fight or flight, you'll become stressed or anxious, or else you'll shut down and become helpless or hopeless, depending on what your brain and nervous system did at the time when you went through it as a kid. So your inner child, from even just from those two experiences, from in a relationship or at work with your boss, that inner child is showing up and is shaping the way you're showing up in the world. And of course, like, we need criticism, we need feedback, you know, obviously depending on how it's given. Your boss could be really mean about giving it, or they could be really supportive in giving it. Obviously I would prefer if they were supportive in giving it. You're going to respond a little bit differently if they're very mean and negative about it, but that's up to their brain and their nervous system, and that's up to their how they've dealt with criticism in their own world. Okay, so and that's really important actually, that everybody you meet, everybody you interact with, they're all just living based on what they've gone through throughout their life, from when they were in the womb, when they were a baby, when they were a toddler, a child. Everybody, nobody is black or white in this world. Everybody is wearing rose-tinted glasses, and those glasses are tinted by your life's experience, okay? And those experiences are shaped into your nervous system. They're shaped into your mind, into your memory box, into your brain, into the neural patterns and pathways, and they're showing up every single day. So everybody has an inner child, and everybody is affected by their inner child every day. So to bring in a bit of a personal story, I, for some reason, throughout my teenage years, throughout my 20s, I always had a belief, I suppose, that I wasn't good enough, and that I wouldn't really amount to much, or I wouldn't be able to do what I wanted, and just everything, no matter what I put my hand to, there was always this voice in the back of my head saying, you're not good enough. And it was only through therapy and counseling and going through why this belief was there, that this memory popped up, that when I was in school, I was a small kid, and we were asked to write down in our copybooks what we wanted to be when we were older. And I wrote down that I wanted to be a model so that I could travel the world. And when I was asked to read that out loud, and I did, and people in the classroom started laughing. And that kid who was 7 or 8, I took the meaning that I wasn't good enough, that I couldn't be a model. And I, for some reason, I tied it into my appearance. I guess, you know, at the time, magazines were really popular, and we were seeing models who were beautiful and skinny and tall, and I wasn't any of those things. You know, I was very short, and I was a bit chubby as a kid, still am, I think. So I took it to mean that I wasn't good enough. I didn't look like a model. And that memory, even though I had put it back to the back of my mind, it was like it wasn't a conscious memory that I was thinking about. It was stored in my unconscious mind. That was shaping that emotional experience that I had that day in school. That was ingrained in my nervous system. And it was stored in my memory box. The meaning I put to it was stored in my memory box. And it kept showing up and kept showing up no matter what I turned my hand to. No matter what I did in college or any activity I did, there was always a voice in the back of my mind saying, you're not good enough. And it was only until that memory came to my conscious awareness that I was like, oh, wait a second. I realized that my inner child, my 7 or 8 year old self, was trying to protect me each time I went to try something new or step outside my comfort zone. That little inner child that said, you're not good enough, that was protecting me in case I put myself out there and I was laughed at. So my inner child, who had such a terrible experience being laughed at, did not want that to happen again. So your inner child is always trying to protect you. And by having that voice saying you're not good enough, it was preventing me or trying to stop me from stepping outside my comfort zone because it feared somebody laughing or somebody saying, what are you doing? You can't do this. But the thing is that protection obviously is really good, and I love my inner child for helping to protect me, but that's not much good to me now as a 30 whatever year old who wants to do things, who wants to grow, who wants to put myself out there and develop in many different areas of my life. That voice is no longer very good to me. So the thing that you can do, if this sounds familiar and your inner child starts showing up in your life, and you have, you know, things start showing up like meanings like I'm not good enough, or, you know, negative thoughts like that come up, that, oh no, you're not going to be good enough at this, or what's the point, you're going to fail, or anything negative that's stopping you from progressing in life, what you need to do is you need to imagine you as a child, and whether you actually have a physical photograph or you can picture yourself visually in your mind, you need to think of that kid, and you need to, like, visually in your mind's eye, hold her hand, give her a hug, tell her it's okay, tell her you're sorry she went through that, but that you got her now, that you're going to get her through this period, that, you know, tell her you're older now, you have more experience, and that you are good enough. And just by giving that part of your nervous system, that part of your memory box, that little bit of attention, you're telling that girl you're safe, and she will no longer need to try or need to or feel the need to want to protect you and keep you safe. So that's how you start changing your beliefs and start working with your inner child instead of her pulling against you. Okay, and that goes for even if you don't have the conscious memory. If there's anything that's coming up, showing up time and time again in your life, you know, beliefs or thoughts about failing or not being good enough, or that you always do the wrong thing, or you can never do the right thing, or anything that's slowing down your growth in life, anything that keeps showing up, anything that keeps slowing you down or trying to stop you, that is a memory from your childhood. That's a memory that's stored in your nervous system, stored in your mind's memory box, that's trying to protect you. At the end of the day, your nervous system, your brain, its main job is just to make you safe and survive through life. And it will do it at all costs, even if it's a voice telling you not good enough, you're not good enough. So even if you don't have a conscious memory of hearing these things as a kid or having those emotional experiences, it's likely that it happened sometime. So you can still imagine yourself as a kid, as a baby or toddler or child, and just say, I know you're trying to protect me, but I've got it. I've got you, and I've got it now, and I'm older now, I can do this. And you're just giving that part of your nervous system, part of your body, the comfort it needs to let you move on and let you grow in life. Because if we keep listening and giving into this voice, obviously we want to listen to this voice, we want to listen to our inner voice, don't ignore it, it's part of you. It's like turning your back on a kid who's speaking to you, like, you don't do that. But it's about holding its hand, giving it a hug and telling it, it's okay, we got you now, or I've got you now. And then you can grow, then you won't be held back anymore, and you can just keep striving for whatever it is you want in life. The final thing I want to mention about in this podcast is triggers. So triggers are things that kind of set us off to react rather than respond. So, you know, it's the things that make you really stressed. They're the things that make you get angry or make you react rather than calmly responding to someone. And those triggers are because your nervous system has a memory of something similar happening where something negative tended to happen, and it's now trying to protect you by putting you into these stress response states, by making you angry, by making you shut down. So I'm going to use the relationship example again. So say, for instance, you're in a very happy, loving adult relationship, and anytime you try to bring up something maybe uncomfortable or something annoying that your partner did, and your partner always overreacts, they get angry, and then they shut down. So they're going into the sympathetic fight or flight, and then they're going down into the dorsal shutdown state. So their nervous system is moving through the different stress response states in order to protect them because they don't feel safe in that situation. You then are left being like, oh, I thought disagreements were healthy. I wanted to bring up this thing so that we could move on with our relationship. And now this person doesn't even want to talk to me. They got really angry and now they're shut down. Oh no, what do I do now? And so what is happening in that moment, no matter what the content is of the kind of disagreement that, or the information that you wanted to share with your partner, or the annoyance that you wanted to speak to them about, there's two things happening. So number one, in your own nervous system, when they got angry and they shut down, you then went to the whole thoughts of, I'm not good enough. Oh God, this person doesn't love me. So it triggered what your nervous system remembered in their memory box as happening as you as a baby, of something you saw with your mom and dad, or something you saw with your teacher, or something with those adults around you, whereby, you know, they couldn't have a disagreement without getting really angry or without getting or without shutting down and ignoring each other. And so your nervous system is remembering that, and that trigger is sending thoughts into your mind being like, oh God, I'm not good enough. This person doesn't love me. They're going to leave me. They're going to break up at me, blah, blah, blah. And the second thing that's happening is your partner's nervous system has also been triggered. And so whatever information you wanted to share with them or the annoyance you wanted to share with them, they themselves saw that as a threat because of probably something their own inner child remembers from either a conversation they had with a parent as a child or a conversation they saw their parents having. And their own system, their nervous system is saying, oh God, we're not safe here. So it sent you up into sent them up into fight or flight, where they got really angry, and then they sent them down into dorsal, where they shut down and started to ignore you and didn't want to continue the conversation. So both your nervous systems have been triggered by memories in your past. And that's something very, very familiar to a lot of people, I think, that either, you know, people struggle having difficult conversations because as a kid they would have seen difficult relationships and how they played out with themselves and with their primary caregivers, like their how their parents had difficult conversations, how they themselves had difficult conversations with a parent or with a teacher. And so the reaction from the parent or teacher is what's ingrained in our nervous system. And so we'll always think that that is going to happen. That's because, again, what I mentioned at the start, that those first 7 years of your life, everything has a big emotional meaning, and everything, you know, you may not remember the words or you may not have had the language to put to it, but your body remembered the big emotional experience you had. And so that's all that's happening, is your nervous system is like, this feels familiar, this has happened before. Here you go, here's the nervous system reaction again to try and protect you. Because at the end of the day, you did, if you're here listening to this today, you did survive all those things as a kid. So obviously the stress response that your brain initiated and the nervous system initiated, that stress response worked because you're still here, you'd survived it. So your brain and your nervous system now think, okay, if we respond in the same way now today, we're going to survive this as well. So it all comes back to with your nervous system, it all comes back to survival. Your brain just wants you to survive, and it'll do anything at all costs to keep you alive, and remembering things from your childhood and keeping your inner child alive is how it does that. So that's a very quick kind of overview of your inner child, how it shows up in your life, why it's so important, and how you can actually, you know, comfort it. Because as we know with kids, when they're emotional, they need comfort, they need their hand held, they need to be told it's okay, they need to have a hug. And that's what you can do with your inner child now. Your inner child wants to protect you, and it's now your time to protect them and to bring them through your life and make sure that they're okay and they feel safe no matter what experience you're going through in life. And just remember that, you know, if you're in a place in life that you always feel like you can't progress, you're scared to do things, that fear is coming from your childhood, and your inner child is trying to hold you back in order to protect you. It's not a bad thing, they just want to keep you safe. But you can tell them now that it's okay, I'm older, I have experience. Even if it doesn't work out, it's not the end of the world. We can try a different way or try a different route. So it's really important that you actually work with your inner child and comfort them when they need it. And just having even a picture of yourself as a kid, or visualizing yourself in your mind's eye, and just giving that kid that love that it needs, that it maybe didn't get as a kid, or telling it, you know, that it is good enough and it'll grow up to be an amazing person. Just telling it that is a huge step in just helping you, and it'll really help with your whole mind-body connection, your whole physical, mental and emotional health. And that's what this An Anchor Wellness is all about. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have an understanding now of your inner child, and hopefully it'll This podcast and this information will help you if ever you feel stuck or triggered in life again, that it'll help you to kind of push through those boundaries and get to where you want to go in life. So as I always say, please, if you have any ideas of anything or any topics you'd like me to chat about or information you'd like me to share, please do get in touch on Instagram, or you can send me an email. All my details are in the information below. And yeah, we will chat to you soon.